Welcome back again to Radio Entrepreneurs, the new Zoom version. And I want to thank all our listeners who were tuning in more than ever before, because they want to know how companies are dealing with this virus, this new economy, because the old ways are going to stay the old ways, and there's only going to be new ways. I just read studies today that we may be going into 2022 out of Harvard, where social distancing is going to become the new reality. So, and if I'm talking about new realities and protecting what I did accumulate in the old world, there's no one I can think of in the whole country that I would rather speak with than Marsha Wagner, founder of the Wagner Law Group, and I like to say the foremost authority on ERISA and pensions. So welcome, Marsha. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm honored to be here.
Right. Marsha, I know there's a lot of issues around people worrying about their pensions, their employers, tax qualified programs. Can you talk to us about what you're seeing and what your thoughts are about these things?
Yes, it would be my pleasure. There are four specific types of pension plans or welfare benefit plans that are being adversely impacted by the new status of events. There's the defined benefit system, the defined contribution system, the non-qualified plan system, and the welfare benefit system, which includes the fringe benefits like health insurance, dental, etc. And I'm happy to take them in order, or I'm happy to just give you a high-level thought about my four. Maybe the best way to proceed is for me to give you a 100,000-foot overview of what I'm seeing in all four of these realms that ERISA implicates. So with respect to the defined benefit pension world, I've been saying for at least 20 years, if not longer, that this type of pension system is under stress. And there is a significant issue with respect to the funding status of many of these plans, be they private plans, plans in the not-for-profit realm, or multi-employer plans, i.e. union-sponsored plans, Taft-Hartley plans, or even more concerning on many levels, governmental and governmental instrumentality plans. They've been underfunded for a long time. Stock market shocks like what we've had, and lack of revenue from the corporate side or from the tax side, depending on who the employer is going to extraordinarily adversely impact these plans just when the baby boomers really are starting to retire. So the numbers are in the billions, if not trillions, of true underfunding, especially if you add to that the welfare benefit arena, which is health and welfare. And some of these health plans are self-funded, especially in the union arena and in the governmental arena. And you combine all this, and bailout isn't even the word. I'm not sure what is the answer to real funding questions if this COVID-19 pandemic truly does bring us into something like a great recession or a depression. With respect to defined benefit plans, there is the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, which is a backstop purportedly for the underfunded plans that have to terminate because of the underfunded status. But it's a cumbersome process. We're quite expert in it. We've had very good results terminating plans through distress termination with the PBGC. And I would urge anyone who's listening to this, if they have funding obligations with respect to their defined benefit pension plans that they think may adversely impact their financial viability, to please call us. With respect to defined contribution plans, things like profit sharing and 401k plans, individuals receive an account, and the benefit they get is really what is in their account. So obviously, if the stock market goes down 40%, if you're invested broadly in the market, your account balance will go down 40%. And again, this is what's happening when people are coming very close to retirement. It's really something. Also, employers are limiting to a certain, if not to a large degree, the profit sharing contributions they're making and the matching contributions they're making. And the reason they're doing that is obviously for cash flow purposes. The other types of plans that are getting affected as well are non-qualified deferred compensation, which may or may not be funded. And if they are funded, they're usually funded with a rabbi trust, which is subject to the claims of the general creditors of the employer on bankruptcy. So where does that leave the executives? So there are many types of issues in the ERISA realm that we should be concerned about. And we're trying to help our clients, our colleagues, our friends in the industry, determine really how best to proceed given this confluence of extremely negative factors, some of which have been building for decades.
You know, I went to a seminar, you know, about 18 months ago that you gave, and you rocked the room with predictions of fear. And I went up to you afterward and I told you that I thought it was an important responsibility to be communicating this. You were the predictor of a lot of this economic chaos that's going down. Forget the virus. You're not a virus expert. You're an economic chaos expert. You predicted it in very intelligent and objective terms, not subjective terms. You were able to use statistics. But if you're a small business employer, and these are the ones I think that are most at risk, and trying to protect these families and these small businesses of 100 employees, 200 employees, and sometimes less, what kind of advice do you give them now about what to look at? Because so many people are thinking, oh, how do I go to business May and June? They're not thinking about how do I protect everyone. What do you tell them now? Is it just wait and see?
Is there No. You need to be active, not reactive. You need to be proactive, not reactive in this time. And this is where leadership really comes in. So I can tell you that with my law firm, we've added certain areas of our practice. We've diversified. We're effectively, and you would love this terminology, rebranded. We've always been expert in bankruptcy and in restructuring and the effects on pensions and benefits and compensation. So now we've created a task force for just that, because that's what our customers need. So I would tell all small businesses to go out and see what your customers need and how you can help with your existent tools that can be repurposed for this brave new world. The second thing is that our HR practice is really looking into what do HR departments have to do in this time with respect to paid sick leave, furloughs, layoffs, downsizing, right-sizing, RIFs. I mean, these are things that we are actively involved in, and most small businesses, I hate to say, are really starting to consider. I'm not saying effectuate them, but at least know what your options are and what your legal obligations are. If employers are maintaining defined contribution plans, they need to determine whether the funding of these plans through matching contributions or elective contributions or profit sharing contributions really should continue. Now might be an extremely good time to make sure that the employers are on fantastic terms with their brokers for health insurance. And the reason why is because there are always snags in every system. But you don't want snags if someone's going into the ER. We need to make sure payment is made and made timely. So these are proactive steps. Moreover, the CARES Act has a number of other provisions that can help small business. I will highlight a few of them, but I do want everyone to go, if they're so inclined, to our website, which is www.wagnerlawgroup.com. And our front page is our COVID-19 paraphernalia of information, panoply of information that could be helpful. But at a very high level, I think small business needs to be aware of this payment protection program, the so-called PPP. My law firm itself, for full disclosure, we've made application, and for full disclosure, it is not easy. If you have
banks don't know what they're doing from day to day.
It is the failure of our governmental bureaucracy, and I call it our quasi-governmental bureaucracy, which is what the banks are. They're not necessarily independent players per se. They're very much working hand in glove with the government, which they should be. But the problem with large bureaucracy is sometimes they can't get out of their own way. And I have found the application process should not be tedious, should be easy. But the snags and the snafus have been myriad and quite disappointing. And even worse, although I haven't had enough bad news in this video chat, is the fact that I've heard on CNBC and CNN that it is likely and probable that today or tomorrow, the SBA will run out of money for making any payments at all under PPP. So it's pretty distressing for small business. Most big companies don't truly understand that very few small businesses have more than a month of cash on hand. Most have less, and the vast, vast majority don't have 2 months of cash on hand. So whereas the government and the quasi-government can't seem to get money to the backbone of America, America will burn slowly. And it's very, very disheartening to see this level of dysfunctionality and inefficiency. And you compare and contrast that to the incredible job my friends and colleagues and clients in the healthcare industries are doing. And frankly, I'm ashamed of how poorly the rollout of the PPP has been and how desperately it's really needed. You might think of, you know, small businesses, just restaurants or retail that are getting harmed, but all small business is getting harmed right now, to the best of my knowledge and belief. And the government needs to step up.
Well, you know, I agree with you, and we could do a whole story on the banks and the problems I've been hearing from the banks. I just got off a bank meeting prior to interviewing you of a large bank, and there are banks that just are like shut their eyes to what's going on because they can't deal with it. Some are working with their clients, but I think your tagline really says it. America is burning right now, and we're not dealing with how to really put out this fire and deal with this fire long term. And because of that, we're going to want to talk to you regularly. But you're doing more postings on your website and social sites than any firm I know. So before we go, and I give credit to your team that's doing that, despite, you know, all the problems that exist out there, if they want to read stuff that you're putting out every day, how do they find you and the firm?
Excellent. Please go on to my website, www.wagnerlawgroup.com. You can also link into us. It's on the website. And we also have a Twitter account and a Facebook account. So please do check. I think that we've become the intellectual force in the industry for what is important to know in our field of expertise, ERISA, employee benefits, HR, employment. We also are extraordinarily busy in our estate planning practice for very sad reasons, but our estate planning practice is awfully busy, close to 24/7, getting wills and trusts and healthcare proxies. Don't forget about healthcare proxies out there. Some people don't want to be revived. No. Or intubated.
This is a time to look at everything. I agree.
I didn't predict a pandemic, but what I did predict was, I felt like a Cassandra out there. I did predict that we had incredible societal and systemic and systematic flaws in our benefits systems, in our financial systems, in our delivery systems.
And you pointed out that all the indicators were showing that this was coming this way. America is burning. Marshall Wagner, again, where I get from some firms, once every couple of days, a COVID release. I'm reading at least five relevant articles and seminars from your firm every day. It's kind of amazing how you've sort of reaffirmed your firm. I want to thank you for being on the show. Thank your staff for, you know, putting out all that stuff. And I look forward to talking to you again next week. And again, the most important thing, Marcia, stay healthy. And remind everybody, this is Radio Entrepreneurs.